Our psalm reading this morning is Psalm 99. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim, let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion, he is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name, he is holy. The king is mighty, he loves justice. You have established equity. In Jacob, you have done what is just and right. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called on the Lord and he answered them. He spoke to them from the pillar of cloud. They kept his statutes and the decrees he gave them. O Lord our God, you answered them. You were to Israel a forgiving God, though you punished their misdeeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. This is the word of the Lord. And this morning we are going to look at the passage out of Luke, which describes the transfiguration of Jesus on the mountain. It's one of those passages that if we read it without understanding the context in which it's written, it doesn't make as much sense. And so let me read just a few passages prior to this particular passage that's listed in your bulletin first. This is the passage where Peter proclaims Jesus Christ as Lord. It says, once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, who do the crowd say I am? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life. But what about you? He asked, who do you say I am? And Peter answered, the Christ of God. Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law. And he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. And now let us go to the passage that's listed for today. And that is the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud, saying, This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him. When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they had seen. This is the word of the Lord. Well, this is the beginning of the season of Lent. And how could it be? It seems like just a few short weeks ago that we were celebrating the birth of Christ. And now we begin the period of Lent, the 40 days leading up to Good Friday, and then the glorious celebration of Easter. But today, we are brought back to the point in Jesus' ministry when he has been teaching and healing and performing miracles throughout Judea and Galilee. He's making his way to Jerusalem, and Jesus knows what lies ahead, and his godly persona is becoming more and more apparent to his disciples. It was just in previous verses that Peter acknowledged Jesus as the Christ. And Scripture tells us that from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and on the third day be raised again. And as we learn from the Gospel of Matthew, it was then that Peter rebuked Jesus, saying, "Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But Jesus, in what perhaps is the most poignant and startling rebuke of any of his disciples, says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Clearly, Jesus understood that what was about to happen must happen in order for God's plan to be fulfilled, and he did not need Peter standing in his way. This was Peter, the one who Jesus had said would be the rock upon which he would build his church. Yes, even Peter, in all of his humanness, would fall back into worldly ways of seeing Jesus as someone he liked to have around, someone who was inspiring the crowds with his teaching and with the healing and with miracles. Peter was comfortable in Jesus' presence. He felt protected and safe, and he didn't want to hear the words about suffering and dying, and he didn't understand the words about resurrection. Peter had declared that Jesus is the Messiah, but he had so much more to learn. And so today, we look at the mountaintop scene that we have come to know as the transfiguration of the Lord. The word transfiguration means a complete change of form or appearance into a more beautiful or spiritual state. And you heard me explaining to the young people this morning that the word there is the same word that we have come to know as metamorphosis. On that mountaintop, what Peter, James, and John see is the glory of Christ. He is in his most beautiful and spiritual form. It is the Son of God in all of his splendor. I said that Peter had so much more to learn. Well, all of the disciples had so much more to learn. Can you imagine? Can you even imagine what they were thinking when they were seeing all of this before their very eyes? The top of a mountain is a natural place for Jesus to take three of his disciples to encounter God. It was, after all, on Mount Sinai that God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. Jesus gave his first teachings in the Sermon on the Mount. He often retired to the mountain at night to pray, and he would be crucified on Mount Calvary, and he would ascend to heaven from the Mount of Olives. So today, at this time of transfiguration, Peter, James, and John are with Jesus on Mount Tabor, and they will also be with him in the near future in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus will be arrested. But today's experience of being in the presence of God will prepare them for what is to come. Today, Moses and Elijah are also present, speaking with Jesus about his approaching death. Moses is the great lawgiver, and Elijah the great prophet. In the presence of these two, representing the law and the prophets, the voice of God from heaven is heard. This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him. It is easy for us to miss the significance of this scene. You see, here on this mountain, the transition from the old covenant to the new covenant is taking place. The world is being prepared for the death and resurrection of Christ the Lord. Jesus came not to destroy the law and the prophets, but to bring them to completion. And Christianity is not to be some abstract creed or code, but it's to be a person. Jesus Christ, fully God and fully human, is to be the way, the truth, and the life. We are to listen to him according to God's voice from heaven. We are to follow him. The letter to the Hebrews tells us that in times past, God spoke to us through the prophets, but in these last days, through his Son. For Jesus, the transfiguration was the turning point in his life. Until now, all was onward and upward. He was captivating the people with his preaching and his miracles. But now he must begin his descent into the valley, to the road to Gethsemane and to Calvary. The transfiguration gave Jesus a foretaste of his glory, and in the strength of that joy, he would endure the cross. Most of all, the transfiguration gave Jesus another affirmation of his Father's love. At his baptism in the Jordan, the voice of God the Father had affirmed him. The voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And now God repeats that affirmation, but he adds the words, "Listen to him." Those words should ring loud and clear in the hearts and minds of each and every one of us today. Listen to Jesus. Listen to his teaching. Imitate his humility. Acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. Yes, listen to the beloved Son of God. For Peter, James, and John, this was an awe-inspiring experience. They had never seen their master like this before. They had never experienced the presence of God like this before. It prepared them for carrying on the ministry of Jesus with special authority and with special knowledge. We know that decades later, John would write in his gospel, in John 1, verse 14, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Yes, indeed, on that mountaintop, John had seen his glory. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 18, Peter wrote these words, "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received honor and glory from God the Father, when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son, with him I am well pleased.'" And Peter continued, "We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain." Peter, James, and John were eyewitnesses to Jesus' glory. They had no reason to ever doubt again, but yet they, just like all of us, found themselves confused, afraid, and unsure just a short time later when Jesus, the beloved Son of God, was confronted and accused at Gethsemane. Peter even denied that he knew him. Today, let us prepare our hearts and our minds for the Lenten season, which is about to begin. The Transfiguration leans unmistakably into Lent as Jesus comes down from the mountain and journeys to the death he speaks of during that very descent. God's words, listened to him, addressed to Peter, James, and John, will become poignant, even painful, in the weeks ahead as the disciples regularly fail to do just that. Or at least they fail to understand. In the weeks ahead, you and I, as Jesus' disciples of today, should also take heed of God's admonition to listen to him. The message of Jesus that we will hear during the season of Lent will be words of love, humility, compassion, and forgiveness. That is the true message of Jesus Christ, and it was for that message that he died on a cross. Yes, when each of us longs for our own mountaintop experience, when we are afraid or confused about what the future holds, and when the voice from heaven seems to be quiet in our lives, the image of Easter looms just ahead. But the beauty of our faith is that we don't have to wait to celebrate Easter. Oh yes, we will observe the season of Lent, and we will honor all that it means as we prepare for the day of celebration on April 10th this year when we celebrate Easter. But the truth of Jesus' message is this: for all who believe, Christ the Lord is risen. He is risen today. We celebrate his resurrection each and every day. And this is to the glory of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. On this morning, as we ponder the words, we also have the wonderful privilege and honor to worship at the table, to come to the table and to share in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. This is our way of acknowledging the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us on the cross. So friends, let us come to the table. Through the waters of baptism, we are born into Christ's family. That family is nourished and sustained at this table. Though we are baptized but once, in the Lord's Supper we reaffirm our commitment to Christ, and God renews us with grace. This is the joyful feast of the people of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast he has prepared. Let us now give thanks. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Almighty Father, creator of all things and source of every blessing, by your power and wisdom you brought the universe into being and created us in your image. You called us to love and serve you. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with choirs of angels and with all the faithful of every time and place. We join in giving you praise. Holy,
holy,
holy Lord,
God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Simon in the highest.
God of glory, you are holy, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, whom you sent out of love for the world to be our Savior. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ was born as one of us. By his death, Christ delivered us from our sins, reconciling us to you. Risen from the tomb, he gives us new and abundant life so that we live in him and declare, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Almighty God, we come humbly before your throne. All glory is yours, now and forevermore. Amen. On the night when he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, saying, This bread is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat the bread and drink the cup, we proclaim Christ's death until he comes again. Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray that you will pour out your Spirit on these, your gifts of bread and the cup. We pray that you will inspire us with your love, and that you will call us to be true disciples. And Lord, during this coming holy season, we pray that you will keep us ever mindful of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on our behalf. Indeed, the sacrifice so that we might have eternal life. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, this is the Lord's table prepared for you. All who believe are welcome at this table. This morning we will be serving the Lord's Supper by intention, which means that you come forward. The elders will be present down front with the bread and the cup. Take a piece of bread, dip it in the cup, and remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. All who believe are welcome. Please come to the Lord's table.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy God, we bow humbly before you. We thank you for the blessings that we receive. We thank you for the blessing of this holy time of year that we enter. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ and for his sacrifice. We pray now that you will guide us and lead us as we strive to be good disciples. We pray that you will continually speak to our hearts, give us insight, give us the ability to discern your will. And most of all, Lord, we pray that you will give us hope for an eternal future, one that is filled with all of the glory that you would have us see. So, Lord, we thank you. And on this particular morning, we remember those who are not with us, those who are sick, those who are in need of healing, those who are lonely, those who are less fortunate, those who are in places of the world where they are experiencing war and violence. We just lift them all to you, Lord, and pray that you will bless them, that they will feel your presence wherever they are, whatever their need. We pray that they will know that you are there, you are with them. So thank you, Lord. And we lift all of this to you in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior, the one who taught us to pray by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And now let us respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.